Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. We're going to be talking about the Billy Meier case this afternoon. And since we might have a few new listeners in the chat room, I thought I would talk a little bit in general terms in the beginning about who Billy Meier is. Edward Albert Meier, he's a 78-year-old man. He lives in a tiny mountain village in Switzerland called Hinterschmidruti. Hinterschmidruti is about 52 minutes east of Zurich by automobile. There's a building there called the Semyase Silver Star Center, where a group called the FIGU works to publish Billy's written material. Billy has written like 40 books, over 40 books, and some over 600 contact notes that describe his contacts with extraterrestrial human beings. And these beings fall into two different categories. One group they call the Pleiaren. The Pleiaren resides some 80 light years beyond our Pleiades. That's like 500 light years away. They have a world called Era that's very similar to the Earth with a slightly higher gravity, but the biological systems there are pretty much just like Earth. These are people like us. They look like us. They're roughly our same size. Billy's first contacts with the Pleiaren came when he was about 5 years old. He started to get these telepathic messages to go out and play in the forest near his home. At that time was in Bulach, Switzerland. And then out of the sky came this silvery pear-shaped craft, which landed nearby, and young Billy walked over to the ship, and he was kind of pulled up into the ship by some kind of technology, and Svoth introduced himself. Svoth was one of these Pleiaren. He was about 900 years old at that time, and he had already saved Billy's life once. Billy, when he was a very small boy, about 6 months old, had a very bad pneumonia. And the doctors thought he would pass away. And Svoth intervened with some kind of technology and saved the young boy's life. So anyway, Svoth and Billy went high above the Earth into Earth orbit. And young Edward Albert Meier, of about 5 years old, is looking around inside of this ship. And he can see screens. And he can see people on these screens. And he can tell that Svoth is studying the people of the Earth. And Svoth proceeds to tell Billy that he's had other lifetimes here on the Earth, and that he's been Enoch, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, and Muhammad. And in these other lifetimes, he taught an ancient universal teaching called the Teaching of the Spirit. And the Teaching of the Spirit centers around several concepts. One is called the creation, which is also known as the universal consciousness. That's the intelligence behind our universe. These extraterrestrials also talk about the human spirit. And they tell us that every human being has within them a spirit that does not die, does not sleep, that records everything that you do, and it will tell you if your thinking is right or wrong, if you've learned to pay attention to it. The spirit form comes into the body of the child at 21 days old, and it brings with it something called material consciousness. Now, your material consciousness is your conscious mind, your subconscious mind, your unconscious mind. And it includes in your subconscious the memories of your predecessor personalities. According to Meier information, most spirit forms on the earth have been around 4 to 5 million years. And that's enough time to have lived many, many years, many, many lifetimes in the physical. And each time that we incarnate into the physical, we have the same spirit form, but we get a new personality and a new conscious mind. And we start the new lifetime at the same level of evolution that we last left off with the last lifetime. Now, even though the material consciousness has to grow up because it starts out as a child, the spirit form is at the same level of evolution before. So, as you grow older, you'll get impulses from the storage banks. There are planetary storage banks, and there are universal storage banks, and the planetary storage banks will feed you. You will get signals if you're sensitive to these signals. And these signals will help you in your evolution. Now, Svoth, again, is on the ship with Billy, and Svoth is preparing Billy for this lifetime. Because in this lifetime, Billy is going to be a teacher again. Now, in other material lifetimes, he's been a teacher before, not only on the Earth, but in the Lyra Vegas star system and in other galaxies. His spirit form, and your spirit form is that little tiny bit of energy located in what's called your superior colliculus, which is in the center of your midbrain. Billy's spirit form is extremely ancient, something like 9.6 billion years old. It's lived through all of the 7 stages of evolution, got to the point of merging back with creation, and then came back to live material lifetimes again. And what this spirit form, this very ancient spirit form, is doing now on the earth is teaching this ancient universal teaching. And this teaching is being put in written form for the first time on the earth. Because what has happened in ancient times, as Enoch, which the Meyer material really calls Henoch, Enoch, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, and Muhammad, these teachings were never written down. Later, people came and wrote them down, but they never were written down in their original form. So things were lost, and things were changed, and things were modified. And two of the very important points that have been modified through the years and are not really there in our religious writings anymore are the information, first of all, about creation. Now, our religions tell us that there is a God. The Meyer information does not use that term. It uses the term universal consciousness. And there's a good reason for that. God is taught by our religions is a term that refers to a heavenly father, a personality, a father figure. The Meyer information says that the creation is an impersonal spiritual energy that builds universes as a part of its own evolution. And it creates spirit forms to help it with its own evolution. The universal consciousness, again, is an impersonal spiritual energy, and it creates something called creational natural laws, or the laws of nature. Now, one of these laws that I missed the first 3 times I went through this book, this book is called The Might of Thoughts. One of these creational natural laws, which I discovered today, is sometimes called the law of harmony or the law of being. And let me read this, and then we can discuss this in a little more detail. As a rule, suffering is always an effect of some form of wrong thinking if the suffering relates to negative, bad, or evil outcomes. In this form, incidents of suffering are indicators that the law of harmony is disregarded and broken, and that one is therefore not living according to the law of being, which is directed at progress, love, peace, knowledge, wisdom, joy, and true inner freedom. So there is a law of harmony that talks about the necessity for maintaining neutral, positive thinking in your mind. And that's a law of nature. And if you get out of neutral, positive thinking, you'll have suffering in your life. It's a cause and effect thing. Let me read here again. Indeed, the law of cause and effect, precisely that law which determines that the might of the thoughts become effective in the form in which the thoughts are thought, tended, and nurtured. But the result of that is that suffering, which is produced by means of thoughts, must again be purified and resolved, indeed, in a positive, neutral, positive, equalized form. So what this all refers to is that there are these laws of nature that define how we should think, how we should live. Another law of nature is the law of love, and it's the primary law in creation. In fact, the incredible splendor of nature is the visible expression of the love of creation. And this creation, this universal consciousness, it radiates love so that every point in time and in every place you can perceive the radiating love of creation. Every tiny plant, every tiny animal fulfills its purpose in love. And love is the highest principle in creation. Everything follows that principle in absolute logic. But there is a false kind of love, that love which is romantic in nature. We're not talking about romantic love here. We're talking about effective love, a love that's based on wisdom, a wisdom-conditioned love. Now, the universal consciousness radiates this love, but the universal consciousness is an impersonal spiritual energy at the same time. The analogy I would make is that the sun radiates light and heat on a beautiful day like today here in eastern Ohio, and it blesses everything with its radiance, and we feel the warmth, and it's helpful, it's enlightening, it makes everybody in a better mood, that sunshine. But it's impersonal. The sun is radiating light and heat because of who and what it is. And it's the same way with the universal consciousness. It radiates love because of who and what it is. And it doesn't really do anything out of its... how can I say this? You don't really have a personal relationship the way our religions have described it. Your spirit form could be thought of as a tiny fragment of this universal consciousness. And your spirit form will incarnate for millions and millions of years, and it will gain wisdom through each one of these incarnations. And in each one of these incarnations, you are personally responsible for everything you do and for everything you think. And eventually, after you've gone through all of these seven evolutionary steps, you will merge back with the universal consciousness. And at that point, your spirit form becomes completely conscious and aware. See, we have a material consciousness right now. We have a personality. And we're conscious. But we're not aware of many, many things. And we're certainly not, when it comes to the creation, there are many mysteries that we will for these many, many millions of reincarnations which are ahead of us, we will start to learn more and more of these mysteries. Now, I said that most human beings are 4 to 5 million years old in terms of their spirit form. Well, there are a few older spirit forms here that are about 8 to 12 million years old, and they came here on ships in the ancient past here on the Earth. There have been multiple civilizations here on the Earth. Civilizations during the time of Atlantis and Lemuria, which was about 133,000 years ago. There was a civilization that was led by a man named Pelagon, who came from Era. That was about 150,000 years ago. There was another civilization on the Earth millions of years ago that centered in the southwest. They destroyed each other with nuclear weapons. And that's how we got the Death Valley, and that's how we got the Fire Valley. So we, in this third millennium, have once again the opportunity to create a stable, lasting society. The people on Era have gone 50,000 years without war, and they live according to these creational natural laws that we've been talking about. One of those laws I said was love. The next creational natural law is the law of striving. And it's one of the laws of nature that we have to continually strive. All people, all animals, all plants have to continue to strive to live. I've got several callers, and one has their hand up, and one of these is Nate, so I got to figure that out as well. So 949, I'm bringing you on the air. 949, did you want to make a comment or a question?
Hello?
Is this Nate?
No, this is somebody else.
Okay. Who is? Do you want to tell us your first name or anything?
Yeah, this is Matt. I've actually been listening to your show for quite a while, and I've been really wanting to call in, especially the last week's. All the stuff with Nate recently, it's really been resonating with me quite a bit. And I had quite a bit to add to a lot of the stuff that you guys were talking about, but it's not really coming to mind right now. Because I was just in the middle of, I'm sorry, I just got done playing golf, and I totally forgot that you were on today. And I wanted to get on, and I realized that right when I got on, there was only about an hour left in the show, and I just wanted to call in and see if I could get on, and sure enough, I did. But I'm really glad to hear your voice over the phone. I guess this is a really good show, and I really enjoy the information that's shared on this show.
Well, thanks, Matt. I really appreciate those kind words. And do you want me to put you back on mute for a little while, and I'll try to bring Nate on?
Yeah, put Nate on, and I will probably call in next week. I'll be more prepared, and I'll try to call in next week, and hopefully you'll let me on, and I'll get to discuss a few things with you.
Thanks, Matt. It's great to hear from you. I'll put you back on mute.
All right, take it easy.
Okay, hopefully 559. Is this Nate?
Hello?
Is this Nate?
Can you hear me?
Yes, okay.
Okay,
Nate,
so I'm calling
Nate,
through Skype.
Nate, you have a fan. Did you hear you had a fan?
Oh, yeah, and he's in my area, too. He's 949.
Oh, really? Well, you guys are both on the West Coast, then, which is exciting. So, did you listen to any of Michael Udibrook's?
46 trillion years. We're currently at 46 trillion years of our age of our current creational consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to expand to 155 trillion years, which for most of us is not really fathomable because we don't have any frame of reference. No, but there's a lot of stuff. If people haven't heard Michael Udenbrook's presentation, I posted it in the blog radio chat room. I suggest.
Isn't that a fantastic movie, That is so well put together. Oh, it's just amazing. I listened to it again. I listened to it again last night, and it was like I had never heard it, or I missed half of it.
What's so funny is I'm taking notes now. I'm like, what the heck was I doing the first, you know, because I watched it like 4 or 5 times already.
Sure.
This time I'm started taking notes, and I'm like, okay. And some of the little things that he was talking about, I totally, like, didn't get. I forgot about, you know, or just didn't notice the first time through.
One of the interesting things that he talked about was the way we should be buried and the way that there is a link somehow in the new life with the skeleton in the old life. And he didn't elaborate on it that much, but when he starts to talk about these fine fluidal energies, I find that really interesting.
So for fluidal energies, basically all that is an electromagnetic energy that comes from the individual's feelings and thinking. And that energy can be absorbed by denser material and can help in your evolution, your future life evolution also can help with those people around you because you're still you still have an influence and an effect after you pass away.
That's a very interesting concept. Continue.
So, yeah, so don't burn yourself. I mean, don't get cremated. I think that if we take a step back and we look at certain instances, one of the things that they talk about in the teaching is they talk about not to get if you have a heart condition, don't get a transplant from other people who have a heart that they died in, because what happens is you get a conflict of personality. And the correct way to kind of go about doing this is, you know, a further research in growing back body parts and, you know, petri dish body parts. So there have been some famous cases that have to do with that. And one of them happened with a 9-year-old girl received a heart. And shortly after she got this heart, she started having nightmares and the whatnot about this guy coming into her room and murdering her.
Oh.
And ultimately her mom had enough of it and then called authorities. And the authorities had, you know, she started describing this person and everything about this person. And popular science calls this cellular memory.
Hmm.
But as a result of this girl's description, they were able to, because they had this person as a suspect, and sure enough, her heart came from an 11-year-old girl that was murdered. And she was wide awake when it happened.
Oh, my.
So, yeah. And there's been other instances over and over again where you have people getting transplants and then taking on the personality of the people that they get it from. And so you have a conflict, and pretty much you can hardly handle your own personality as far as anybody I know.
Well, that's interesting because I don't even like this whole idea of, and I know we probably do have a genetic memory, but I think that's just a vast oversimplification of what's going on. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I've heard of, like, people walking on fire, how that is actually – what that is rapid cell generation, and that's why they're not affected, rather than projecting an energy outward to protect themselves from the fire.
Mm-hmm.
That was a theory of, like – because, you know, as far as science knows, that the skin will burn at a certain temperature, and that's that. But yet you have these guys walking across fire and that, you know, hundreds of degrees beyond the burning point of skin, and that they come out unscathed.
So there's also mental fluidal powers, right? And that's what you're kind of talking about now.
Yeah. mental and feeling based. Now, the feeling based usually comes from the psyche, and when that happens, it's actually it would be akin to a sick psyche. You know, books flying off the shelf, hauntings, ghosts, and stuff like this.
That's very interesting. So, you know, the one thing that I am always puzzled about and I always contemplate is, you know, with the Meyer material always says that the circumstances of our life come out of our thinking. And we have conscious thinking, but we always have this unconscious thinking. And isn't it a lot of times the unconscious thinking which can cause all these crazy effects, like books flying out of shelves? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. And even at that level, it would be kind of, when you think about, like, what is the feeling? How does the feeling work? The religion calls it a soul, but the teachings call it the psyche. Which is, even in medical books, they said the feelings are generated from a place called the solar plexus.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's the word where the word soul came from. We call it the psyche. And the psyche, when it's just like any other thing built on the law of cause and effect, it can become sick or it can be healthy. When the psyche becomes sick, it becomes rigid and hard to move. When a wish is made, then what the psyche can do, like, for example, there was a discussion about a man that was in Africa, and he was on a sojourn from his home about 1,000 miles, and he was attacked by a lion, and he kind of focused all together at one time and was instantly teleported home, which was like amazing. But as an effect, he had aged a huge or a great deal, according to the information. And
now,
this wasn't...
Is this talked about in the Meyer material?
Yes.
You know, that's interesting. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I remember reading something that the powers of the material consciousness can sometimes teleport people. And I always assumed the only people that could ever do that would be like at the Ishwish level or something. But you're saying this guy did this.
Yeah, I'm saying he did this as a result of his psyche interacting. Like when a loved one gets crushed by a car or something,
mm-hmm.
then they go and they lift it up. Our science tries to explain it like, oh, well, that was just adrenaline. And now the science is trying to say, well, there's a thing called super adrenaline. And it's very material driven.
Really? That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, they have this. They have some shows on like Discovery Channel that kind of talk about that and go into that.
But it's really the power of the mind is what we're dealing with there, right?
Right. And here the thing is someone in the chat room puts psycho versus telekinesis, psychokinesis.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is telekinesis, you know what you're doing. You're lifting things with the mind via telekinesis. When it's psychokinesis, you have no idea it's coming from you. And I always thought it was funny that most of the people that were haunted by ghosts were people with very strong religious convictions.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. As a kid growing up, I had several friends that swore to me they saw ghosts and other things of that nature, and they just happened to be very religious, and their whole family, and there was witches and demons and all kinds of other things, and grandma was a witch because they saw something float in her house once, you know.
Mm. And a lot of these are somehow stirred up by our own mental fluidal powers, right?
Yeah, and if you don't know, you know, this is like the thing, not knowing. The whole underlying premise of this information is self-responsibility. You are 100% responsible for what you do, think, feel, and say. And a lot of religion tries to force you to give up that responsibility. by making you blind to that fact. Creation continuously tries to put you back in your place with the law of cause and effect. I stubbed my toe. That's right. You need to pay attention.
I like that.
Just very simple things.
Well, one of the things I was reading at the beginning of the show was there's this law of harmony. And I never thought of it as a creational natural law, in that a lot of times if we break the harmony of our thought patterns and we drift out of the neutral positive, it's a law that the suffering will come into our life.
If you break the law of harmony, suffering will come into your life?
Well, I can read it, just part of it again. As a rule, suffering is always an effect of some form of wrong thinking. If the suffering relates to negative, bad, or evil outcomes, in this form, incidents of suffering are indicators that the law of harmony is disregarded.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting is when Michael was talking about it in his presentation, he was talking about the spirit form and the consciousness block. And what's carried over were the essences of the consciousness form to the next personality. And the way to describe essences would be a kind of absolute virtue that you achieve in this life, be it harmony, be it love or patience, and that actually gets carried on, and in essence is a perfection of that. So what you were talking about with wrong thinking kind of reminded me of that.
You know, the other thing I think that we're in for is that's difficult is that in our world right now, in the third millennium, and it also depends very much, I think, on also where you're living, you can come up against a lot of outside influences that can really upset your own inner harmony. And one of the things I think it's important for people to do is try to take the time to find circumstances that help you create that idea of harmony in your own psyche and to foster that harmony in your own psyche. Because if you don't, the default is becoming, you know, less and less cohesive and conducive towards maintaining peace and harmony with your own thoughts. I have to think of you know, the big cities, a lot of the big cities and traffic and overpopulation all contribute to us breaking down our, you know, it's really interesting how much overpopulation really is related to all this, because even Michael was talking about spirit forms coming back way too early, you know, maybe 50, 7,500 years too early. Without, you know, maybe even processing everything that they had learned in the previous lifetime. Did you recall anything else he said about overpopulation on that movie?
Yeah, it's a problem, and I, you know, and this, the ignorance of the spirit is a problem, and the fact that people equate the spirit to supernatural. And it's not. It's cause and effect based, and therefore, I think that once you get, sorry, kids running here.
Oh, go ahead. I'll continue.
Okay.
Do you need a break? Go ahead and take a break there.
No, I think I'm good here. But okay. Remind me, where was that? You were talking about overpopulation, and I said the ignorance of the spirit, and how it's there's nothing supernatural here. It's just a willful ignorance on the part of most people to accept that, you know, all these rules and all these laws that are in place, you didn't put them there. You know, life is set up to work. It does it without your belief. You know, that's just how life is.
Well, you were talking about teleportation, and that was a huge thing there, that this guy teleported, and was it a thing he did on purpose, or was it something that just happened?
Yeah, you see, that's the thing. Like, he was, it was something, his psyche got so disturbed, and then it did what he was requesting, and it was seemingly random. It wasn't a conscious thing of his thought process, meaning that he wasn't consciously trying to move himself through space, but that his psyche did it for him. Yes, he didn't want to be there, and it was like everything aligned at once. Is okay, you're gone. You know, that's how it kind of explains it. It explains that these things happen, that when you do it consciously, it won't be called psycho teleportation. It would be called teleportation, for example.
Oh, I see.
Or psychoportation.
This person aged very dramatically after this, right?
Yeah, they said because they even talk about in the future that Japanese and Chinese will rediscover the ability to tap into the spiritual energy, and people will be augmented with certain technological apparatuses that allow them to recharge their spiritual energy and stuff. And that just might have to do with something, you know, because between their consciousness and their ability to manipulate energy at their level of evolution. So it's kind of like having a battery pack. Like drinking right now, you can akin it to drinking a Red Bull when you're tired or drinking some coffee.
So this is something that's supposed to happen in our relatively near future?
Yeah, I think within the next within the time frame of the completion for the awakening happens, according to the information, it's 800 years away.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So within that time period, they were suggesting, great advances in these areas. Go ahead.
Oh, I never heard of it called the awakening before. That's a very interesting. Does the Meyer information refer to it that way?
No, it's just the word that I think that I just threw in right now.
I hope it's not
religious overtones or anything like that.
No,
the awakening, like complete the awakening or the alignment. Finishes at 2029, but the where they say that everybody will have to think in terms of creational aspects, but they will continually try to solve with this new energy. They will throw old answers at this new energy and continually find unsuccess until they learn.
Now, did you say an alignment occurs in 2029?
Yeah. So as we're passing from we're passing out of the age of Pisces to Aquarius, and that has to do with the electromagnetic energies of the central or galactic sun, if you would. And it has an evolutive effect on people. When we move out of that, because we're passing through that band right now, we started in 1844, and we will be moving out in 2029. But they say as an effect, something in the consciousness will be aligned. Everybody on the planet's conscious will be aligned in such a way that they are noticing something different about what creation is and whatnot. And I wish I could be more specific, but
I've heard the Meyer information talking about a collective subconscious and that we all do have a collective subconscious. So are you saying that perhaps our collective subconscious somehow becomes a little more activated?
Yeah, well, yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I agree. Yeah, definitely. So the collective subconscious can...
In 2029, this occurs where our collective subconscious kind of kicks it up a notch and people start to pay more attention to the Meyer information?
Yeah, they start. You've already seen some of the effects that are going on. So the Catholic Church has to change their narrative to align more with the Meyer material. It's because their flock has changed their mind. So in order to, you know, bait and switch, they have to reel them back in. You know, so they're the idea that they can use condoms now, or they are accepting of people who are gay, or that there's even extraterrestrial life out there. You know, these are all things that, according to the Meyer material, came from the Meyer material. And in order to facilitate the existence of the Catholic Church, they have to now start aligning themselves with this. You know, but this is a direct result of the collective subconscious or the evolutive effect of the galactic energy or whatever.
Doesn't it say in the Henoch prophecies that at some point we're going to kind of see the collapse of a lot of the Christian religion?
Oh, yeah. It's laid out very nicely on the Future of Mankind website, where they go into all the way up to the absolute end of the earth, at which time we won't be living here anymore. But one of the things they describe as the destroyer comet coming back through and smashing the moon and giving the earth a nice ring around it.
Now, I thought that a lot of the prophecies in regard to the destroyer comet are no longer relevant, because didn't the Plarin push that out of the dangerous orbit that it was in? Or am I wrong?
So I think it was every 3,600 years it's supposed to come back through and disturb our system. This is why, you know, I think oftentimes we have this doom and gloom. A lot of our stories are in the past have to do with, you know, the Great Flood or something to that effect. And that was a result of the destroyer comet coming through.
Hmm.
But what they did, they pushed it out. But they didn't destroy it, and they were going to destroy it, and then the High Council urged them not to do that, that it was part of a natural process, but that it would give the human beings enough time. So I don't think we're going to have any issues with it right now or for some time to come. And when it does come back, I think we will have left the planet due to the sun dying, going through its death throes right now. Which is also very interesting.
Some of these prophecies I thought were, how can I say this? Like, I'm definitely going to have to do some more research on this whole thing with the destroyer comet. I, you're talking about stuff that's talked about in Contact 251, right?
Do they mention the destroyer comet too much in that one? I think Semyazi's, in the earlier context, she talked about the destroyer comet and what Pluto is and some other things like that. But I think Pluto used to be a moon of one of the planets, and that the destroyer comet brought our moon in, took our original two moons away, and also brought in Venus.
Yes. It's really interesting that we originally had two moons. And they were different than the one we have now. Is that correct?
Yeah, and what will be really neat is when they are able to determine the age of the moon, they will find that the moon is older than the Earth.
I thought they already actually found that out. But
maybe they have.
They don't really talk about it. They have no way to explain that.
Well, why not? I mean, it's just it's amazing to me. I mean, truth here is I wouldn't, you know, it's better than fiction, not stranger, but better, you know.
Oh, it is, absolutely. That's the one thing I've found over the years by studying this information, is it blows my mind way more than any fiction, any stuff that's made up. So I've kind of lost my interest in that kind of stuff. What about you?
You know what? I have to agree with you. I mean, you were talking about, you know, the consciousness block and how the when the personality dies, the spirit form goes in over there, goes into its realm, and the consciousness block takes the consciousness, the ego, and starts dissolving it over a certain period of time. But that it everything is stored in the planetary storage banks, and that if you got good at meditating, you can create a corresponding frequency to your past life or to someone else's past life, and that's interesting. And you can tap into their past lives and gather information and inspiration from, you know. And this is what they say actually happens oftentimes when people are, quote-unquote, talking about their past life, like when kids start having information that they shouldn't have. Mm-hmm. That's not their past life, they said. That's just they're tapping into someone else's past life.
So they can often tap into someone else's life, past life, through the storage banks, the universal storage banks, or the planetary storage banks. And it's interesting that there's both a planetary storage banks and the universal storage banks. And I've always wondered why that is. It's interesting, you know, it's very, very interesting. But I wonder why they're both.
Well, I think you already have the answer. 40 million years to evolve, and then another umpteen million years to evolve from a half material, half spiritual, or to a purely spiritual form.
Mm-hmm.
And during that time, the planets that you've lived on, you know, because it takes a long time for a planet to get to where it's at for the most part, they would have faded out of existence. And that's what's going to happen with our sun. And I don't, you know, and our spirits might still be around and reviewing our past lives and digesting information and growing.
Well, I know the psyche talks about a time when we will leave the Earth, that we'll have to continue our evolution.
The book, The Psyche?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's, I can't remember that one, but
really?
I remember reading that in other... and other material. Yeah, there's so much in that book. And I'm always stuck on the three golden rules and then the 10 corresponding exercises to the three golden rules.
Tell us the three golden rules. Go ahead.
Well, there's wishful daydreaming. And all these rules are to help facilitate a healthy psyche, right? Then there's looking, walking straight up and looking someone in the eye, and holy moly, the last one. very simple. Let's see. Well, I'll have to bust out the book then. But go ahead.
Well, there's a lot to remember. You know, one of my favorite things that the book The Psyche says is
smile.
Well, smile.
That's the last one.
That's the other one. Yeah, you're right. That's the other one.
It was so simple.
That's why I couldn't remember. This, to me, is very important, and I think it has a lot of connotation to it. It says, the Earth human being is particularly expert at clothing matters into words and terms which are inappropriate and completely false. And I think of all the religious terms, you know, like angels and demons and Nephilim and all of these that have all these connotations now that people take as fact, and they're just misunderstandings. Let me continue here. Not least to blame are also the old occultists who conjured up and wrote down in Sanskrit their fantasy-drenched teachings about spirit and consciousness and all the erroneous facts contained thereto. So one of the things that we got to do is get rid of some of these, lose some of these terms that, that stick in people's mind. Do you ever have that issue, or is it just me?
You have it a huge amount of time. The moment I use words like spirit or creation, and I'm talking with someone who's a skeptic, their defenses go like they've been attacked, and so they go way up because that they equate those to supernatural. And more on the words versus truth, like words are not truth, but we're indoctrinated at a young age to believe that words are truth. And so to test their indoctrination, what they may do to us in school, what they did to me in school, is they would ask us that one whole scenario. Okay, you're living in World War II Germany. You're hiding a Jewish family in your house. The Nazis come to your door and they say, are there Jews in your house? And before they start this, they lay the, you know, you're never to tell a lie. You should always tell the truth. What do you do? to tell us that the truth is somehow held in the words is a joke, you know, and it's really demeaning to the truth, if you will.
Well, explain, elaborate on that a little more.
Well, the truth here is these are human beings, and one set of human beings is in a very confused state. And if you allow them into your house by telling facts, then you will facilitate in the further degenerate behavior and the further sickness that they're going through. You know, you aren't aligning them to the truth by any means. And truth, as we understand it, is built on, you know, consciousness-related evolution, but all the underlying virtues of that.
That's a good way to look at it. I think that's a really interesting way to look at it, indeed. We started talking about reincarnation, and reincarnation is one of the things that I think is very comforting, and it takes us out of the fear of death, and it also kind of, to me, the more I think about reincarnation, the more it kind of stretches my mind. And let me read this one section I was talking about earlier from the Psyche. It says, therefore, the human being of Earth is not yet in the position to comprehend all the nuances and forms of the feeling, and so these will remain inaccessible to the human beings for still a very long time. When the human being of Earth will be able to do so, then he or she will have already long left Earth and will be living somewhere on different planets, because the blue planet will not exist for as long as the human being needs his or her evolution. I kind of look forward to that. So that means, also it makes me sad, to tell you the truth, but look forward to a future lifetime when we will be space traveling and we will be heading off the Earth. Any comments, Nate?
Yeah, and that just goes full circle back to what you're saying, like planetary storage banks. You know, we'll still need access to that information. You know, during Michael's presentation, he's like, okay, so it's, you wouldn't stop evolving if you were cremated, right, and your bones were cremated, but it just becomes harder. It's like hanging a weight on someone, you know. Mm-hmm. And so if there wasn't a way to tap into our past lives or our past experiences, and it was only held in the planetary storage banks, then yeah, everything would be like stumped, and we couldn't move forward. We'd have to like press a reset button, right?
Is it my imagination, or will there be another, will Billy have another incarnation where he teaches, where he's a teacher like he is now?
Not on this planet.
Interesting.
He will incarnate several more times, and continue the mission, but he won't continue the mission as a herald like he has done now. That's interesting.
What does it mean when he says he's a herald? I've heard him say that before.
A herald is just a teacher, but the problem with the word prophet, it has a lot of religious connotations to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it can really hurt your message. And mm-hmm. this is why they, you know, in what I got from the beginning when I started studying this material, why they went with the word creation versus the word God. Because mm-hmm. when I was little, I described creation as God. I said that which is, because kids would come and they'd say, well, do you believe in God? And I say, no, I don't believe in God. I know God exists. And they would get upset. Well, how do you know? And I go, because everything around you is my definition for what God is. And I would continue that using that phrase until I got older. And then as I got older, I came across this and it said creation. And I've heard, and I'm like, oh, okay. And it took me a while to kind of chew that because it kind of slapped in the face, you know. Oh, this is another new age, one of those things, you know.
it's an interesting way to look at it. Yeah, you know, when it comes, I have spent a lot of time working on trying to wrap my mind around what the creation, what the universal consciousness really is and how it operates. And I think some of the fine things I'm really starting to get a better handle on are the laws of creation, and that creation doesn't give us commands, but it creates these laws. And like I was talking about the law of harmony and the necessity to keep that harmony in your thinking, because without that harmony, here comes the law of suffering. And the same thing with the law of striving. If you don't continue to strive in all areas of your life, you'll suffer. And we've even compared that with the whole electronic media thing. And the way the whole electronic media in the modern society it causes us to lose our focus on striving. You know, it takes away our perception. It just wastes incredible amount of time. So, and there must be some balance there where we can still use electronic media without using it. Maybe this is what I'm trying to say, without using it for a crutch. Do you think sometimes the electronic media is a crutch?
Yeah, I think, you know, you sent me that link, Billy for Kids, recently.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about when these kids basically wrote him questions based upon his contacts. And one of the questions was about Claudina Arcana or something.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the girl who won. This is the girl from the planet Era.
Mm-hmm.
Who won the competition. And basically the competition was everybody was informed about Billy's mission. They said, can you give us a sentence or a phrase that really describes his mission, right? And she won it by saying the silent revolution of truth, basically. But the reason why I bring her up is in this Billy for Kids, they were talking about the way they educate the kids and stuff. And it's completely different than the way we educate. There's a lot more respect for nature and respect for the next human being than there is in our stuff. When we don't, you know, fundamentally understand how things operate, you know, by way of law, just the law of harmony. Well, you tell that to anybody on the street, they just start laughing at you for the most part, mm-hmm. because it's not like you're saying the law of gravity. They would get that,
mm-hmm.
but they don't get this. And so they're using the poison now in our schools. They're just bringing more and more computers. They're trying to modernize it. And if you ever are in a room with a bunch of kids with computers, you're not going to teach them anything, pretty much.
Oh man.
But that's stunning.
That's a little scary and stunning. And we'll have to talk about that more in the future. And I need to get my mind wrapped around it. And it also deals with the fact that when you have a book and a paper and even the cardboard cover or the hard cover, your energies go into this book, and you kind of develop this thinking rapport because it reflects back to you some of your own energies. So even
the fluidal energies is
part of the importance of this. And I think it is completely impersonal with the electronic devices, completely impersonal. So that's one of the things that we have to watch and keep looking out for. Did you have anything that you wanted to close the show out with, Nate? Because we're already past our hour.
Oh, okay. Sorry. For fluidal energies, electromagnetic energy that comes from feeling and thinking. So computers and stuff, they're actually subverting this. Because if you think about looking at a screen and you see something that's funny on the screen, mm-hmm. you laugh. But then you look at the same screen and you see something that's terrible and you cry. But you turn off that screen. That's not there anymore. You know? So you can think of it like that.
Wait, are you saying it's because it's temporary?
Yeah, kind of like the energy you put into it is no longer around.
So that destroys your focus.
Yeah.
In a sense. And that's why when you pick the book up again, the physical book, you reconnect with the focus that you had the last time you read it.
Yes.
That's very profound. Indeed. Well, Nate, thanks for joining me, and thanks for everyone that called in. And we've got the phone lines filled up here and all the people in the chat room. And we'll keep trying to do these shows, folks. And don't hesitate to call in and share something that you've learned about the Meyer information. And enjoy this beautiful day. I think there are 3 and 4 feet of snow in Colorado, so it's moving east. So another example of the crazy weather and the destruction that's going on in the world today. But we can stay focused. And thanks again for joining us. You've been listening to Ohio Exopolitics, and we've been talking about the Billy Meyer material. So have a good day. Bye-bye.